Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which we will be beginning today's shiur is found at the very bottom of Daf Ches Amud Beis. In fact, we are picking up in the middle of a discussion. You can see at the bottom line, at the beginning of line, you have a diamond that appears. It's one of our series markings. But as you scan up on Daf Ches Amud Beis, you'll notice there are more diamonds. That indicates that we're really in the middle of a discussion. So what is the discussion? So you may recall from the previous shiur, we started a sugya dealing with the question of from where did we know that a Pesach, Sheloi Bezmano, a Korban Pesach that's offered, that's slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash on some day other than Yud Dalet Nisan, it automatically becomes a Shlomim. The diamonds in this particular sugya represent a series of Amo is the word that's in the diamond, suggestions, Hatzos Chilufios, alternative suggestions to that particular halacha. The halacha once again is that a Korban Pesach that's brought Sheloi Bizmano becomes a Korban Shlomim. So the Gemara continues at the very bottom of Chesomet Beis, Emo L'chol D'shochet Le Lehevei Kavosei. Maybe whatever you have in mind when you shecht the Korban Pesach, of course Sheloi Bizmano, it becomes that. It becomes whatever you have in mind, and not as we say that it becomes a Shlomim. So the Gemara answers, Omar Rabbi Ovin, Doichin kochim haneecholim eitzel kochim haneecholim v'ein doichim kochim haneecholim eitzel kochim she'enon neecholim. Before we explain the Gemara itself, let's take note of the new geometric form that appears. We see a triangle, and on the outside margin we have a mivneh, a structural note that accompanies practically every sugya where a new marking appears. We attempt to offer a type of key or an explanation for what the role of that marking is. In the outside margin, the mivneh states, we have a triangle featured, and it says Tshuvos LaSheila. These are a series of answers to the question that we just asked, namely Eimo L'chol D'shochet Le Levei Kavosei, the suggestion that whatever you shecht the Korban Pesach for, whatever you have in mind on those non-Yud Dalet Nisan days, the rest of the year that is, maybe it should become like that. So the Gemara answers, the first of a series of answers with regard to that question, says, and let's read it again, Doichin Kochim HaNecholim, we will push the Kochim HaNecholim are sacrifices that are eaten, in this case the Korban Pesach, it will become something of a like nature, Eitzel Kochim HaNecholim, for example, it will become a Shlomim, which is a Korban that one eats. However, V'ein Doichin Kochim HaNecholim, we won't take the Korban Pesach that you shechted B'Shar Yemos HaShona and push it over Eitzel Kochim Sheinu Mechalim and consider it an Ola. An Ola is a Korban that's not eaten. The Gemara asks, but still there are other kinds of Korbanos that are eaten, and we don't say that the Korban Pesach becomes them. For example, Otu Chatos V'Osham Mi Lo Misakli. A Korban Chatos or a Korban Osham are also eaten. They're eaten by the Kohanim. So why do we say that the Korban Pesach, being that it's an eaten, it's a consumed type of Korban as opposed to an Ola, why do we say that this consumed type of Korban becomes only a Shlomim? Maybe if someone had in mind while he's doing the Pesach to be a Chatos, it should become a Chatos. Ela, so we refine our answer. Why is it that it doesn't become just whatever you have in mind, but it becomes only a Shlomim? Ela doichin kochim haneecholim l'chol adam. Eitzel kochim haneecholim l'chol adam. The Pesach that we are currently dealing with, it becomes a... The first of all, the nature of the Pesach is that it's not limited to any specific group of people. Everyone is entitled to eat the Korban Pesach. Men, women, children. And that kind of Korban is then pushed over or transforms into another kind of korban, which is necholim lecholim, namely the shlomim. And we don't say v'ein doichin kodshim hanecholim. We are not going to take the Pesach b'shari mos hashana and convert it into etzel kodshim she'ein necholim lechol adam. The chatas and oshim are not necholim lecholim. They're not eaten by every. They're eaten only by male kohanim. Another approach to this, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Ovin, Omar, Doichin Kodshim Kalim, Eitzel Kodshim Kalim. The reason that we choose the Shlomim to become the korban that the Pesach B'Shari Mos Hashanah becomes is because the Pesach is a Kodshim Kalim, is a light form of sanctity, and it transforms into another kind of korban that has this light form of sanctity, namely a Shlomim. V'ein Doichin Kodshim Kalim, Eitzel Kodshim Kodshim Kodshim. And we will not have a Pesach transform into something that's of a higher level of sanctity, for example, the Chatas and Osham. Maskif lo, Rav Yitzchok, Rebbe Savrin. We have a new marking coming up, but we will see a double underline, which was one of our series markings. And in all of these series that we see coming up, along with the Ema, the new or continued alternative suggestions, these will all have in common the beginning phrase shachte l'shem something else. So in the meantime, we've coming off of Rav Yossi Bar Oven, we suggested that the Pesach can become, being that it is a kodshim kalim, it will become another type of kodshim kalim, and we chose the shlomim for it to be that korban. So now the Gemara asks, Rav Yitzchok Bar Rabbi Savrin asks, Emo shachtei l'shem meiser. Meiser is a meiser behema. That's a person that has a flock of sheep or herd of cows. Every year, amongst the new births, 1/10 of the new births is separated as meiser behema. Meiser behema is brought as a korban. The owner of the herd or the flock brings the animal, 10% of the new animals that are born in his flock, and brings them as korbonus, and we call that meiser behema. And that is also a form of kodshim kalim. It's not a kodshim kodshim. So why don't we say that if a person has a korban pesach b'shari mos hashanah and he shechs it with this with a meiser behema in mind, lehevei meiser. Let this korban pesach become a meiser. Lamai hilchason. What special halachas will apply to it then? Well, as opposed to a shlomim, it's deloli boy nisachim. There, it won't require the accompanying wine offering that is characteristic of a korban shlomim. Ulamilka ale below yigoyel. And if a person will try to sell the meiser behema, he will be subject to malchus. The posuk in Meiser Behema says Yeh Kodesh Lo Yigael, and the Gemara in Maseches Bechoros Rashi tells us Lo Yigael means Lo Yimocher, so that if one would try to sell it, he would be guilty of this aver of Lo Yigael. So at this point, the suggestion is why don't we say that if one shechts a korban pesach with a kavonas meiser in his mind, it would convert into a meiser behema, and the practical outcome would be that there would be no required accompany offerings, no nisachim required to bring with it, and one would be subject to malchus if he tries to sell it. Omar Kro. The Pasuk says, and with this we reject the meiser suggestion, ho asiri yekodesh. Ze meiser v'ein acher meiser. The pasuk says the tenth ho asiri. That's a function of animals that are put through a type of narrow passageway. All of those new births of that particular year, we take all of those animals and pass them through a narrow passageway and count them off 1, 2, 3 up through 10, and the 10th one becomes holy, becomes a meiser behema. And what we're saying over here is only that is the animal that becomes meiser, and not a korban pesach that I shecht with a meiser mindset. Emo, the Gemara has a new suggestion, shachtei l'shem b'chor, lehevei k'b'chor. If I shecht a korban pesach b'shari moshe shana with a mindset of a bechor, which by the way is also a kodshim kalim. And we said before that the reason we don't have the korban pesach turn into a chatos roshim because those are kodshei kodshim, but it's within the realm of reason to have a korban pesach convert into a shlomim when it's shechted b'shari moshe shana. So why not have it convert into a bechor if I have that in mind when I'm shechting this korban pesach? And l'may hilchus, what practical bearing will there be in labeling this as a bechor? Bechor literally is a firstborn. Of course, this is a korban pesach that was set aside. It's not a firstborn, but let it take on the halachas of a firstborn. And what would those halachas be? L'may hilchus, well, one is delo liboy nesachim, when offering a bechor as opposed to a shlamim, a bechor which is brought as a sacrifice, it does not have any accompanying wine offerings with it. Inami delesvei lekehanim. Another practical difference would be that if I shecht it with a mindset of it being a bechor, it will then be obligated. One would be obligated then to present it to the kohanim as you would with a bechor. A bechor is one of those items in the Torah that is considered matnas kahuna, given to the kohanim as one of their benefits. So if I shecht the korban pesach l'shem bechor, I would have to give it to the kohanim. And yet we don't say that. We say that when you shecht a pesach b'shari mos hashana, it becomes a shlomim, not a bechor. The Gemara answers, bechor nami. Avra mi meiser gomar. There's a gzera shava that compares the halachas of Bechor to the halachas of meiser behema. And just like we saw, that meiser behema is limited to that which is actually is literally the tenth one going through the passageway, so too Bechor is limited to that which is a Bechor and not a korban pesach shechted with a Bechor in mind. The ema shachte l'shem tmura leve tmura. Why not say that if a person shechts the Korban Pesach with a Temura mindset, it becomes a Temura? Before we go further, just a brief word about what a Temura is, and then we'll apply some of these ideas into the Gemara itself. A Temura is a situation where a person has a Korban, he has a sanctified or dedicated animal with a particular carbon status attached to it. A person may have said to regarding a particular animal, I declare this cow to be a shlomim. Then a person brings another animal next to it and says about this other animal, Hare zu kazu. I'm trying to replicate the kedusha that's on the sanctified animal onto the common animal. Trying to, in an attempt to replicate the kedusha, and the second animal would also become kodosh. That's called temura, and by the way, it's osir to do that. Lo yomir, the pasuk says one's not allowed to do that. If one wants to dedicate an animal, he should dedicate it outright, not through an attempt to replicate the kedusha that exists on one animal and reproduce it on a second animal. Let us then say a person comes to a korban pesach and he shechts it with a mindset that I want this to be l'shem temura. Now, this, what we just described now, doesn't actually match the definition we gave of temura. But that being aside, let us say that this animal just shechted with the temura mindset on it. We're not talking about right now replicating the kedusha onto a second animal. We're dealing with the korban pesach. You have only one animal here, and you're shechting it, but with a temura mindset. Lamai hilchas, what practical outcome would there be if this animal becomes labeled a temura? Well, number one, aleph, lemilka ale. One would be subject to malkos, to being lashed because of making a temura. Inami, lemekem ale. Another outcome would be he would be then subject to the restriction of below yimocher, below yigoel. That a temura type creature is not subject to being sold nor being redeemed, which is not the case of a standard korban. The Gemara answers: Omar Marzutra Brei Rav Nachman Omar Kro Vahoya Hu U Temura Soi. And there's a limitation over here, so we darshan as follows: Zu Temura Vein Achir Temura. What does that mean? When does something become a temura? That's only when you have an animal that's sanctified next to a common animal, a chulin animal. as we mentioned in our introduction to Tmura. That is how one creates Tmura. However, by taking a singular animal and slaughtering it and declaring through the slaughtering, I'm slaughtering this as a Tmura, that doesn't produce Tmura. Hence, the Tmura label doesn't get stuck to this Pesach. The Ema, a new suggestion, Shachtei L'shem Toida Lehevei Ki Toida. Well, a Korban Toda is an example of a Korban Shlomim that's just like a Korban Pesach, which is a Korban Shlomim. So let us say that if you shecht a Korban Pesach and you declare it as a Toda, that it would become a Toda. L'mai Hilchason, what practical outcome would there be if it does become a Toda? L'hat'eino Lechem. It would require 40 loaves of bread that accompany a standard Korban Toda would then have to accompany this Pesach that I shechted l'shem toida. So at this point, the suggestion we're confronting is, why not say that when shechting a Pesach b'sharim l'shana shalo l'shma, it would, or in other words, you have in mind for it to become a toda. Why is it that it does not become a toda? Before we go further, we have a new geometric form. You'll notice a house form that in the next few lines will appear and flip over from time to time. On the side, we have a ma'akav. Ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of a back and forth discussion. So with the point facing up, kushios al ha'atzah, shteim shachtei l'shem toido, dino yehe ketoido. We're going to ask questions on this suggestion. So let's now continue in the Gemara. Of course, we should point out that when the house flips over, that will be a response. So the Gemara asks on this suggestion, Mi iko midi de Pesach gufei lo boi lechem umoisroi boi lechem. Could it be that a basic Korban Pesach has no bread requirement to be brought along with it, and a residual Korban Pesach, this is what we call the Moser Korban Pesach, an animal that is a derivative of a Korban Pesach, in the sense that we have something that originally was dedicated to be a Korban Pesach, and it is, being that you're shechting it b'shaya Mos Hashana, it's not going to become a Korban Pesach, but rather something else. But nevertheless, we can call it a derivative of a Korban Pesach. So how could that possibly be, that we could make such a suggestion that it would become a Toda, and then I would require to bring bread with it? That's not reasonable. If the original Korban Pesach doesn't have bread brought with it, how could it be that something of a subsidiary nature would have bread? The Gemara asks, Ihochi, Hashto nami, mi iko midi, de Pesach gufei lo boi nesochim, umosro boi nesochim. The way the halacha is right now, however, we know that it turns into a shlomim. And as a shlomim, you do bring an accompanying wine offering called nesachim. But the original Korban Pesach does not have a nesachim requirement. So it doesn't seem to bother the halacha so much that a derivative has more brought with it than the original. So why can't we resurrect the suggestion that shechting a Pesach l'shem toda, it would become a toda and you would have to bring bread with it? So the Gemara responds, Anan hochi ko'amrinon. In our attempt to reject the toda suggestion, this is how we are going to go about doing it. Mi iko midi de moiser toda atzmo lo boi lechem. Here is the problem, and we'll go over this. Is there anything that could it possibly be that a moiser toida itself? This would be an example where someone has set aside a korban toida for his own purposes, and because he had experienced some type of salvation, either he crossed the sea successfully or recuperated from an illness, and as a result of that he brings a korban toda. So he set aside a korban toda, but it got lost, and then he set aside a replacement animal, and he offered the replacement animal, and then the first one was found. When you offer the first one, the original one, after having already brought your korban toda with its loaves, the subsidiary korban toda, now when you bring it, there is no need to bring bread with it. So if you have something that is a subsidiary of an original Toda, you don't require bread to be brought with it. How could it possibly be that something that is a Mosar of something else, namely, in this case, the Mosar Pesach, the Korban we're dealing with right now is a Pesach that Yeshechti M'shar Yud Moshe Shana, so we can call it a derivative of a Pesach. How in the world could that all of a sudden require bread? Therefore, the suggestion of having a Pesach Shechted L'Shem Toda and then the result being that you would have to bring bread with it, that falls away. As we go along in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form. We have a triangle with a colored end tip, and as you scan ahead the next section of the page of Gemara, you'll see how it flips around back and forth. In the outside margin, we have a Mivneh heading, a structural note, where the triangle is featured, and it's in parentheses we've added Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. Kushos al Havuas v'iminatzon kimokor lepesach shaloi bizmano havishlamim. We had a pasuk v'iminatzon korbono, and that pasuk has served as a source that a pesach shelo bizmano becomes a shlomim. Where did we see this, by the way? So if you note in our Gemara, at the point at which we'll be picking up, you'll notice a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. It says Chesomet Beis. Take a look back on Chesomet Beis. Scan the page till you find a little arrow, and there it should indicate Tesomet Aleph. It's found on the upper quarter of the page, where Avua d'Shmuel cited as a source for Pesach B'Shar Yemos HaShana Shelo Lishmo as being kosher, and it becomes a shlomim. The pasuk said there, v'im min hatzon korbano lezevach shlomim lashem, and he explained dover habo min hatzon, that which comes from the tzon, namely a pesach, which is required to be brought from tzon. Tzon is sheep or goats. The pasuk would then indicate yehe lezevach shlomim. So now let's continue in our Gemara. Maskif lo Rav Yema Breid Rav Hillel Mimai debemoisar Pesach Ksiv. From where do you know that pasuk of Ve'im Minatzon Korbano is talking about this situation? Dilmo bemoisar Asham Ksiv. Maybe it's talking about a situation where one had an obligation to bring a Korban Asham, and Asham as well is brought from the Tzon family. It's an aisle, generally speaking, a ram. And when the pasuk says ve'im min hatzon korbono, tzon would include an osham. And if, let's say, a person had lost his osham and then found he has a situation where the osham becomes a moser osham. That is going to be the thing that turns into a korban shlomim. The Gemara answers, Omar Rova, Omar Kro, Ve'im Min Hatzon Korbano Lezevach Shlomim. Dover Hashoveh Bechol Tzon. Something that we're talking about a type of korban that can be brought from any kind of tzon. Tzon is an umbrella expression that includes sheep and goats. So the pasuk is saying, by saying the im min hatzon, we're coming to include all kinds of tzon. This is to the exclusion of a korban osham that does not come from goats. So that if this pasuk of the im min hatzon were referring to a korban osham, we would have an inaccuracy. The Osham does not come from Tzon, it comes from the realm of Kivosim, or more specifically an Ayel, and does not come from the type called Ezim, goats. Maskif lo Rav Oven Bar Chiyo Vitema Rav Oven Bar Kahana. Another, we have either Rav Oven Bar Chiyo or it's Rav Oven Bar Kahana asks, B'chol Asar, in all places, At Amris Min Lehotzi, you look at the word min, and we say it's exclusionary. V'kan min l'rabos. And here, we seem to be using the word min to include that the kind of korban that this pasuk is talking about is a kind of korban that's brought from not only sheep, but also from goats. So we're viewing this as inclusive. Omar Rabbi Moni, hachanami min lahoitzi. We are establishing this pasuk as talking about a korban pesach, and the word sown, we are being faithful to that as talking about sheep and goats, and hence not talking about a korban olshin, which cannot come from goats, and therefore we're talking about a korban pesach, and yet the word min, in fact, is exclusionary. We say min hatzon lahotzi, to exclude the laosi ben shtei shanim, the laosi nekeva. The pasuk is saying, bring from the tzon, not all the tzon, but something from the tzon. But don't bring a 2-year-old animal. Don't bring female animals for the korban pesach. So the word min does function in its traditional role of being exclusionary. Maskif lo Rav Chona bag deso. Umi motzis amris dechiksiv hai b'moiser pesach ksiv. Can you really say that this pasuk from Vayikra Gimel is talking about Moisar Pesach? We had a pasuk cited just a few lines up, which said, "Ve'im min hatzon korbono lezevach shlomim." And we are telling you that was used to exclude the osham and hence refer to the korban pesach. How can you say that Vayikra Gimel is talking about a moser pesach? V'ha midechtiv im kesev v'im eis michlal delav b'moser pesach ksiv. If this pasuk was talking about a korban pesach, it would not have been necessary for the Torah to specify im kesev, im keves, im eis. It's poshut to us that the korban pesach comes from those, because in Sefer Shmos the pasuk already says min hakvosim umin ha'izim. The Gemara answers, it is talking about Moser Pesach, and if you'll ask what is the role of the words im kesev or im eiz, hahu miboya le lichedetanya, I need the word keves and eiz for the following drosha. We have a Tanaic source, as you can see it's a framed off section. In our marking system we frame off all those sections that are of Tanaic nature. And we also have a structural note accompanying this, because we have a new marking, a double underline with dots in it. On the side, we have the Mivneh heading, and it says, Havlotas Situtim Me'aposuk. We are accentuating quotes from the Posuk. So in the source, you'll see that we're going to darshan Keves, and we'll darshan the expression Im Keves, and also the Im Eiz. The source explains why these seemingly extra words appear. Keves l'rabois es ha-pesach le'alyo. The extra word, so to speak, is coming to tell me that when you offer a korban pesach and you offer it as a sheep korban pesach, you have to offer its tail on the mizbeach. That's the alyo. Kishu omer im keves l'rabois pesach she'ibro shnoson. Ushlomim haboim machmas pesach lechol mitzvah shlomim. The expression im keves tells me that a pesach who has passed a year in age, or a korban shlomim that's coming as a result of something that was originally a pesach, as we had been discussing in the earlier part of our sugya, those those korbanos, a Pesach whose year passed, or shlamim that come as a result of something that cannot be brought as a Pesach, they take on all the halachas of shlamim. Shi'it anu, that they thereby require smicha, the placing of the hands on the korban, which is characteristic of a shlamim, unesachim, the accompanying wine offering, utnufas choza v'shok, and the waving of the choza and shok sections of the animal. Kishu oimer v'im eiz, hifsik ho'inyan, the expression v'im eiz serves as a separation, limeid al ho'eiz, she'eno tu'una alya, that if the animal being dealt with is instead of a keves, it's an eiz, it's a goat, then you do not offer its tail. The Gemara now asks, v'ho mehocha nafka, is Vayikra Gimel the source for the halachas of Mosar Pesach? Midavua de Shmuel nafka. Now, you'll notice a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a Ches Amud Beis indicator. So if you skip back to Ches Amud Beis and scan the side of the Gemara text on the left-hand side and find a parallel star, you will find in the upper part of the page a Tes Amud Aleph with a star under it, next to the line that you find Avua de Shmuel's name. So we're asking right now, is Vayikra Gimel the source of the dinim of Moser Pesach? Is it not from the pasuk that Avuah de Shmuel brought, a pasuk in Vayikra Aleph? The Omar Avuah de Shmuel, Ve'im min hatzon korbono lezevach shlomim. Dover habo min hatzon yehei lezevach shlomim. Ve'akati, and another question. By the way, we have a long question indicator. If you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, there is a triangle that represents a question, in this case with the tip pointing upwards, and a vertical dashed line which takes you to the bottom line of the page. All of these lines constitute a question. So now a second question. Ve'akati mido Rav Nachman Omar Rabba Bavua Nafka. Di Omar Rav Nachman Omar Rabba Bavua Nafka means we learn out. Well, you'll see what we learn out from Rav Nachman's teaching. Minayin lemoisar pesach shekorav shlomim. From where do we know that the mosar pesach, namely the pesach that you cannot use as a pesach because it's sharia mosar shana, let us say, that it is brought, it is offered as a shlomim. Shenemar v'zavachto pesach lashem elokecho tzon ubokor. This is a pasuk in Dvorim Tezayin. Follow. If you, how can this pasuk itself doesn't make too much sense? It says you shall slaughter the Pesach to the Almighty. Tzon u'bokor. Tzon is fine, but what about bokor? Bokor is a reference to cows, and we know, as the Gemara goes on to say, v'lo ein Pesach bo elo min ha-kvosim u'min ha-izim. It comes from sheep and goats, which is labeled as tzon. It doesn't come from bokor. Elo mikan. Rather, we see from here, lemoser ha-Pesach, this pasuk therefore is alluding to a mosar pesach, even though it says vazavachto pesach. It's a reference to the animal that was once dedicated as a pesach, but you can't use it as a pesach for whatever reason. You're not using it as a pesach, so it becomes a mosar pesach, and it will turn into that kind of sacrifice that could ordinarily be brought from tzon and bokar. What kind of sacrifice is brought from tzon or bokar? Umai nihu shlomim. A korban shlomim can be brought from a cow. So at this point, we have a plethora of sources for seemingly the same thing. Ela tlosa kroy ksivi. There are in fact three psukim, Vayikra Aleph and Vayikra Dalet and Dvorim Tezayin, that all touch on the topic of Moser Pesach. Chad, one addresses le Ovro Zmanoi v'Ovro Shnoso, where the Zman Shchitas Pesach passed. That means you have an animal that was set aside to be a Korban Pesach, to be used on Yud Daled Nisan, but you didn't use it, and Yud Daled Nisan passed, and when Yud Daled Nisan passed, the animal that you have right now also went over a year. Now we can, for illustration purpose, say that at Yud Daled Nisan was the last day of its being under a year old. Well, but since Yud Daled Nisan passed, and I still have this animal, so not only did its Zman Shechita pass, but its age also, it went over the limit. So that becomes a Moser Pesach, and it turns into a Shlomim. So that's the scenario that one of the Psukim addresses. V'chad, another one of the Psukim addresses, Le'ibra Zmanoi V'lo Shnoso, where Yud Daled Nisan passed, but it was rather young at Yud Daled Nisan, so that even though Yud Daled Nisan passed, it still is under a year old. But when I shecht it now, even though age wise it would qualify as a Korban Pesach, but Yud Daled Nisan has passed, so it's no longer the appropriate shechting time for it. So it too becomes a Moser Pesach, and hence becomes a Shlomim. And the third scenario, v'chad, lo ibra, lo izmanoi, v'lo ishnasoi. You have an animal that is under a year old, and you haven't even reached Yud Daled Nisan. If you shecht it before Pesach, l'shem shlomim, it will be kosher, even though it's actually fit to be a Korban Pesach, if you would have waited a little longer. So what do we have? We have three psukim. Each pasuk tells me that the Pesach that you're bringing at the wrong time, so to speak, will become a shlomim. Utsrichi, and I need to be taught each one of these scenarios. The Kosav Rachmon Achad, had the Torah taught me only one pasuk, and I would have to then assign a scenario to that one case of the Pesach turning into a shlomim. Hava mina hani mili hecha de avro shnosoi uzmanoi de idchi mi pesach legamri. I would then only be able to derive the most obvious case, namely an animal that was dedicated originally as a Korban Pesach, and when Yud Daled Nisan rolled around, it was just under a year old. But when Yud Daled Nisan passed, so not only did the passing of the correct shechting time go by, but it also now is over a year old. It's totally cast away, eliminated, rejected from the realm of Pesach acceptability. That's called idchi mi Pesach legamri. So that is the most obvious case, and in that case it would become a shlomim. Aval, avros manoi velo shnosoi. However, if you had a situation where Yud Daled Nisan passed, but it's still under a year old, I'm not so sure. Without a pasuk, I wouldn't know that it would become a shlomim, because dechazi lepesach sheni. Let's read this again in a more intelligible way. Aval avra zmanoi velo shnosoi dechazi lepesach sheni. There is a halacha, without getting into any of the details, that if one, for some reason, did not offer his Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, the Torah has an allowance that he can do it on the 14th of Iyar, and that's called Pesach Sheni. So you might have a situation like this, where Yud Daled Nisan passed, and the animal that you have is 7 months old, 8 months old. Well, from Yud Daled Nisan to Yud Daled Iyar, which is only 1 month later, it would still be under a year old, and it would be suitable as a Pesach Sheni. I don't know that if I were to shecht it after, let us say, after Yud Daled Nisan, I would shecht it on the 25th day of Nisan as a shlomim, that it would be kosher. I wouldn't know. That's aim alone. Maybe it wouldn't be kosher as a shlomim. Therefore, I need a second pasuk to tell me that too would be kosher as a shlomim. V'i kosav rachmona hanitarti. If I would have told you these two scenarios as the Pesach turning into a shlomim, mishum de idchi luhu mimilsaihu. Because with regard to some aspect, if not completely, it's been pushed away, it's been nidche, it's been rejected or cast out of its original design. And that's why it becomes a shlamim. Therefore, it's reasonable for it to become a shlamim. If you have an animal that you set aside as a korban pesach, and the 14th of Nisan has not arrived yet, and it's the animal is obviously under a year old because you set it aside as a korban pesach. Without a posuk, I would think that if you shecht it as a shlomim, it would not be kosher. Tzrichi, therefore I need a third posuk to include that case as well. That if I shecht it before Pesach time, before Yudalid Nisan, I shecht it, an animal I set aside as a korban Pesach, and I shecht it l'shem shlomim, it would become a shlomim. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form. On the side, we have a topic heading, because we're also encountering a new topic, and Mivneh, and structural note. Lashonos shel Rav Mishmei de Movug. Movug is a name, a rather uncommon name, but Rav quotes Movug, Be'inyon, Chatos, Sheshochta, etc. You'll see the double underline, also one of our series markings, so in addition to highlighting the name, which forms a series of comments of Rav Mishmei de Movug, or more accurately, versions of, because we're calling these several different Lashonos, we'll be numbering up to three of them, concerning a Korban Chatos, that when you shechted it, you had a certain mindset, and we'll see what they are as the Gemara unfolds. And so our note says, he shechted a Chatos in Kavona Mesuyemes, Al Nachshon Ben Aminadov. In all of these cases, in all of these examples, the name Nachshon Ben Aminadov will feature. Just historically, Nachshon Ben Aminadov was the Nasi of Shevet Yehuda, and in the Torah there is a portion dealing with the Nesiim bringing korbanos during the dedication of the Mishkan when the Jews were in the desert. So each one of the Nesiim brought a korban chatos. It's called a chatos. Maybe a chatos nasi we can call it, but it's not the formal chatos that's brought because of a sin related matter. It's a special, we'll call special one time korban, and in Parshas Noso, all of these all of the nasiim are featured as in bringing their chatois. The first one was Nachshon ben Aminadav, and you can see this in Sefer Bamidbor Perek Zayin Posuk Yud Beis. In Posuk Tes Zayin in Bamidbor Perek Zayin, after listing the different things that the Nosi brought, that Nachshon ben Aminadav brought, it also mentioned Sir Izim Echod Lechatos. Now we turn to our Gemara. Omar Rav Mishmei de Movug, Chatos Sheshochta Lashum Chatos Nachshoin. Kshera. A person had a Chatos obligation. Let's say he had eaten some Chelev, and he goes and shechts his Korban Chatos with this mindset that he's shechting it as a Chatos Nachshoin. So the Gemara says, bear in mind, before we go any further, just to review maybe a fairly obvious halacha, the Mishnah taught that korbanos in general, if they're shechted, shelo lishma, they're kosher, but the bailim are not yotze, the exception being a korban chatos, and Pesach Bezmano, that if you shecht a chatos, shelo lishma, it becomes posel. Now we've learned numerous sugyas already where that halacha is highly qualified. Under what circumstances do we say that a chatos shelo lishmo is posel? So here we have, we're touching on that sugya in the sense that he's shechting the chatos with some kind of mindset that's other than the purest mindset, namely that he's bringing it for his sin of eating chelev. He's shechting this korban chatos l'shem chatos nachshon. Yet, even though it's not the purest mindset, ksheira, the korban is kosher and it's not considered a shinui kodesh. Diomar kro zois toiras hachatos. Toiro achas l'chol hachatois. It seems from here that as long as you have the mindset of a chatos, then it's okay. Let's take a look at Rashi, the upper part of the page, Kshera, v'lo havya shinui kodesh. D'lo aminon chatos nachshon kevon d'ledoron osi v'lo l'chapora chet harehu k'nishchato l'shem oila. We do not say all of that. Notice with our markings in the Rashi, we have a singular quotation marks that it creates a phrase, we call it a phrase marking, but it's here to indicate that all of that we do not say. Namely, we do not say that, well, since the Sawyer Nachshon, the Chatas Nachshon was brought as a gift and not for atonement purposes, it should take on an Ola status. An Ola, as we saw in a previous sugya, an Ola is brought as a Doron, as a gift. And we don't say that. The Kol Shekein, Rashi goes on to say, Deshinui Bailim Lohave, Delo Shochto Liskaper Bo Nachshon. And here, in this example, it's also, and it's all the more so, not a problem of Shinui Bailim, because he didn't bring this Chatos with the intent that Nachshon should receive atonement. So to sum this up, in the case he Shechted a Chatos, L'Shem, Chatas Nachshon, there's no problem of Shinui Kodesh, nor any problem of Shinui Bailim. The Gemara itself cited as a basis for this, the Pasuk Zeis Teras HaChatos, creating a certain sense of umbrella between all Chatois, that if you mention that this is a Chatos, it's okay. We now have a long question. Yosef Rova the Ka'amar Lo Lahosh Maitza. Rova was sitting and said over this teaching. Eisve, here the question begins. You can see up to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines are part of a question. So Eisve Rav Masharshi La Rova. We have a Tanaic source. The Tanaic source, as you can see, appears in a frame. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol HaMenochos, Shenikmetsu Shelo Lishmon. Any meal offering that its handful of koimetz is a taking of the baked good of the Korban Mincha, and you take a handful, and that handful is then brought onto the Mizbeach. So if the kmitza was done shelo lishma without the proper focused intention, ksheros v'olu lebailim lishum choiva. Not only are the kosher, but the bailim, the owner, fulfills his obligation, even though it was done shelo lishma. Lefishein hamenachos doimos lizvachim. The way we treat menachos is not the way we treat zvachim. Zvachim are slaughtered animals. The animal offerings, as opposed to meal offerings, shehakimetz machvas l'shem marcheshes. If one takes a, before we actually go on, just one brief note: in the realm of meal offerings, there are a variety of different methods of preparing these menachos. Most menachos are baked, but even in the way they're prepared, baking wise, some are baked with a lot of oil, some are baked rather dry. In the general realm of a mincha, by looking at what is being brought, one can identify the type of mincha that it is. Therefore, if a person has what's called a minchas machvas, shakemetz machvas, and he says, I'm doing this as a marcheshes, well, it's obvious that it's not a marcheshes. Ma'aseh mochichon olel, the nature of it, the way it's prepared, shows shihi machvas, that it's a machvas, that it's a minchas machvas. And other examples, chareva, l'shem, blula, he's doing a koimetz, he's taking the koimetz off of a minchas chareva. Chareva is a dry type of mincha, and he's declaring that it's blula, that it's one mixed with a lot of oil. By looking at it, you can tell that it's dry. A dry, an example of that, by the way, Rashi quotes as a minchas chote. It doesn't have oil in it. So what have we said? In the case of a mincha, simply by looking at it, you can tell what it is. And therefore, his declaration of a low lishma nature, we would say, is a joke. Aval bezvachim eino kein. But when it comes to animal offerings, it's not the same phenomenon does not apply. Shchita achas lekulon, kabbalah achas lekulon, zrika achas lekulon. In processing an animal, the same animal, for if it be a sheep, that sheep could be brought as any. It could be brought as a shlomim. It could be brought as a chatos. It could be brought as an ola. That same sheep, whatever kind of korban it is, it has the same shechita. It has the same receipt of the dam. Each one of the korbanos has a zrika done to it. So just by looking at what is being done, I don't know what the nature of the korban is. I only have to go on what he says. Therefore, in the realm of zvachim, the lo lishma is of greater significance and hence can cause greater problems than in the case of a mincha. Let's go on in the Gemara. The Gemara now makes draws an inference and says, Taimo de maaseh mochichin. The reason that a mincha shelo lishma is kosher is because the nature of it proves what it is. In other words, the mitzius of it, its physical presence demonstrates what it is, regardless of what the person says. Ha ein maaseh mochichin lo. However, had you not had this phenomenon of ma'aseh mochichin, then I would have said that lo lishma is posel. Well, am I? Why would you have said lo lishma is posel even without ma'aseh mochichin? Lema, why not apply the same type of drush as we mentioned before? Zois toiras hamincha. Torah achas l'chol hamenachas. Just like you were willing to say that zos toiras hachatos created a sense of umbrella concerning all chatois, even if, and therefore, if I'm bringing a chatos which is sin-related, and I declare I'm bringing it as a chatos which is gift-related, it's okay. So too in the case of a mincha. So if I bring one kind of mincha and declare that it's another type of mincha, why can I not activate this umbrella form pasuk and say, Torah achas l'chol hamenachas? Why is the only reason that the mincha shelo lishma is kosher is because of ma'aseh mochichin? Even without ma'aseh mochichin, why could I not rely on this pasuk? Therefore, we have to reconsider everything we've said till now, and we continue in the Gemara with a second version. Elo i'itmar hochi itmar. If anything was said by Rav Mishmei Demovug, it's as follows. Omar Rav Mishmei Demovug, chatos sheshochto Almenas sheyiskapir bo nachshoin ksheira ein kapora lemesim. Here is what would appear on the surface as a chatos being shechted with a shinui bailim mindset, and generally speaking, a shinui bailim would passel it. Here, the chiddush is that since you shechted it for the atonement of someone that's no longer alive, it's kosher because the dead don't pose a threat in the sense of ruining a korban, because ein kapora lemesim. The Gemara asks, if you're trying to illustrate this idea of ein kapora lemesim, velemo meis be'alma, why do you choose specifically Nachshon? Ha komash malon. The following is what we're telling you. Taimo de meis. Ha chai. Dumya de Nachshon psula. This is the chiddush. The only reason it's kosher is because the person I had in mind is no longer alive. So that doesn't constitute a shinui bailim. However, if we were talking about someone that was alive and was in the same capacity as Nachshon, what do we mean by that? What do we mean the same capacity as Nachshon? We're not referring to his high office, but rather we're referring to the nature of his bringing the korban. What was the nature of the chatas Nachshon? It was non-sin related. Umaynihu, the Gemara goes on and explains this point. What is an example? What is meant by Achai Dumya Denachshon? Chatos Nazir v'chatos Mitzora. There are other situations other than actual sinning that causes the bringing of a chatos. For example, someone had accepted upon himself Nazirus, abstinence from wine for a period of 30 days. Or he accepted, or he happened to become a Mitzora, whereby he suffered a form of tuma through skin discoloration, as is delineated by the Torah. Those people, the Nozir and the Mitzora, also have to bring a Korban Chatos, but those Chatos are not sin-related. So we're saying here that something that's of a rather big Kiddush. The only reason that the Chatos, in our case of where it was Shechted al Menashe, is Kapur Bo Nachshon, the reason it's kosher is because Nachshon is no longer alive. However, had he been alive, and I shechted a chatos with the intention that it's for Nachshon, which means with an intention that it's being brought as, let us say, a chatos nozir or a chatos mitzora, namely as non sin related, I would have my korban would have been pasled based on a shinui bailim. The Gemara asks, Hani oilois ninhu. The korban chatos nozir or chatos mitzora, being that they're not sin related, they are more closely related to an ola. They can be categorized in a certain sense as an ola, even though procedurally they're not an ola, but philosophically, we'll say they are olos. What do we mean by that? So let's glance in the Rashi, the lower part of the page. Uparchinon. We ask, Hani olos ninu? Vanan kim lon liel? Chatos sheshochta al mi shemechuyov ola. If I shechted a chatos with the intention of it being brought for someone who had an ola obligation, ksheira, that would have been okay. Vahani ka'ola tomu, and achatas nozir or achatas mitzora like olos. So the halacha of Rav with its subsequent inference is simply inaccurate. What we've done with the markings, by the way, you can see we've dashed, underlined the line just above the word, the line just above the beginning of the line. We have the word psula. That was the inference where we said ha chai dumya denachshon psula. That would have been part of Rav's teaching, but then based on the question that these kind of korbanos are not like a standard chatos, they're more closely related to an ola, and we know that if you shechted a chatos for the benefit of someone who was chayav an ola, that would be okay. Elo iitmar hochi inmar. We have to revamp what we've said till now with a new version. Omar Rav mishmei demavuk. Notice, this is the third stage of trying to find out what he actually said. Chatos sheshochta al mi shemechuyov chatos kenachshon. Ksheira. Here's the big change, and we've also squiggle underlined this word for emphasis purposes. If I shechted a korban chatos that I needed to bring because of a sin, and I shechted it with the intention of it being brought on behalf of someone else who was chayav a chatos like Nachshon, that would be okay. Chatos Nachshon oilohi. Chatos Nachshon is classified in a legal sense like an ola, in the category of ola, and therefore it doesn't pose a threat of shinui bailim. Iko diamri, another version, and in our markings we will use the squiggle underline not only for emphasis purposes, but when there's a transition or alternative lishonos, it's applied as well. So here we have Iko di Omar, another version. Omar Rav Mishmei Demovug, Chatos Sheshochta L'Shem Chatos Nachshoin Psula. Notice here it's not for with a person in mind. If just compare this to the case just before, where if you look at the double underlined phrase, we said chata sheshochta al mi shemuchuyav. That is person related. That's called shinui bailim. This is an example of a shinui kodesh. And what did he do? He shechted a korban chatos that he needs to bring because he violated a sin that's kores based. And he brought it l'shem chatos nachshon, as if it were a chatos nachshon. That would be psula. Why? Chatos nachshon ke'olahu. That would, the chatos nachshon is like an ola, and therefore that would be tantamount to a chatos l'shem ola. That's a standard case of shinui kodesh, and that would be pasul. The lema chatos nozir v'chatos mitzura. Instead of saying chatos nachshon, why not just say, as an example, a person shechted a chatos l'shem a chatos nozir. And we already said in our early discussion that chatos nozir or chatos mitzora are considered like olos, so that would constitute a shinui kodesh. Why? What did you benefit, or of what purpose did you cite chatos nachshon? So the Gemara answers, ikur chatos nokat. Rashi explains, ikur chatos nokat, shurish achatos, shi oisa chatos yochid rishona. It's, as far as the Torah is concerned, it's the first recorded private chatos. So that's why the term chatos nachshon was used, but not to the exclusion of chatos nozir or chatos mitzor, all of those being examples of non-sin-related chatos, and hence categorized as an ola, and therefore a chatos that shechted l'shem one of these things, that would be a violation of shinui kodesh, and hence the chatos would be posel. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form. You'll notice there's a house marking over here. And as you scan down the page, you'll find another one. And if you can also take advantage of the numbering that we have to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a 1. And if you skim down that same space, you'll see the number 2. On the side, we have under our Mivneh heading, we have the house featured, 1 and 2. These are Shnei L'Shoynes Barova. Two versions of what Rava is saying. Let's look in the Gemara. Omar Rava, Chatos Chelev Sheshochta L'Shem Chatos Dam L'Shem Chatos Avodas Kechavim Kshera. That's category 1. Category 2. L'shem chatas nozir. He shechted a korban chatas. Chatas chedev, we should mention, as we've mentioned in the past, is an example of a standard korban chatas. The expression chedev is simply is a catchphrase referring to all sins that are kores related, for which, when done b'shogeg, you would bring a korban chatas. But chatas chedev is basically a sin-oriented korban chatas. The first category had as example someone who brought a korban chatas with an incorrect mindset. He brought it as if it were being brought for the sin of eating dam or for the sin of idolatry, when in fact the one who's bringing it had eaten chalev. Nevertheless, even though there's an element of change, it doesn't ruin the korban, it's kshera. However, in these examples, l'shem chatas nazir, or l'shem chatas mitzora, psula. Why? As we saw above, hani oilois ninu. Even though formally they have the shem chatas, they have the word chatas attached to them, legally they're viewed as an ola, and that would constitute a shinui kodesh. That would be an example of a chatas that's nishchat l'shem oila. Boy rava. We have a new geometric form, and on the side we took note of that as well. This is what we call the crown form. Shnei l'shoinois b'she'elas rava. We're going to have two versions of rava's question. Be'inyin chatos chelev shenishchato l'shem tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. And you'll notice that we've dashed, underlined the expression tumas mikdash v'kadoshav as a means of emphasizing the phrase in both Lashonos. One of the Lashonos is going to revolve around the issue of Shinui Kodesh, and the other Lashon will revolve around the realm of Shinui Bailim. So now, continuing in the Gemara. Boy, Rava, Chatas Chelev, Sheshachta, L'shem, Chatas, the Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshev Mahu. When one enters the Beis HaMikdash in a state of defilement, in a state of Tumah, or he eats a korban in a state of Tumah, he is obligated to bring a chatas as well. Now, this is sin-related. It's a sin to enter the Beis HaMikdash. And above we spoke about a person bringing a chatas chelev with the mindset of a different sin other than the one he actually violated. And we said that was okay. Here, we have a similar situation. He's bringing a standard korban chatas and processing it in mind as if it were brought for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshev. And yet, there's room to ask a question. Mahu? Mi amrinon kores kemosa? Do we say that Tumas Mikdash carries with it a penalty of kores, which is similar to the penalty for eating chilev? And as a result of there being similar, it would not constitute a shinui kodesh and hence be kosher? O dumo? Ein kavua kavoisa. On the other hand, a chatas chelev has a fixed obligation. In other words, a person has to bring an animal independent of his income level. That's not the case with regard to tumas mikdash v'kadoshev. If a person violated tumas mikdash and he happened to be poor, he can bring a non-animal offering, can bring a bird offering, which is much less expensive. That's called oyle v'yored. Goes up and down depending on one's income level. So since that the Chatas Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshev is called Oyle V'Yored, it's not similar to the Chatas Chelev, which is there's a fixed obligation of bringing specifically an animal as opposed to a bird or a meal offering. Rav Acha Brei D'Rava Masni Kul Hu L'Psula. All of the examples that we had above, even the case of a chatas chelev l'shem chatas dam, he would say is posel. My taima, why is he so rigid? V'shachat oisa l'chatos. That's what the pasuk says. L'shem oisa chatos. The pasuk, according to Rav Acha, demands that the mindset one has when offering the chatas must be for the very sin that he violated. Amar le Rav Ashi le Rav Acha brei de Rava. Baya de Rava hechi. Masnisula. So Rav Ashi asks Rav Acha, who just gave a rather rigid interpretation to the halacha concerning shinui kodesh with regard to the processing of echatas, how does he learn the question of Rava? In other words, according to your approach of l'shem oisa chatos, the scenario that Rava presented would be a rather obvious answer to it, that it would be a problem. Because if he violated chelev and he's bringing it as if he violated tumas mikdash, that's a clear change. And therefore, it's simple to conclude that it's puzzle. Therefore, there would be no room for Rava to even raise a question. Omar Lay, so Rav Acha answers, Anan b'shinui bailin masninon law, v'hochi masninon law. I teach the whole sugya with Rava in the realm of shinui bailim as opposed to shinui kodesh, namely owner identification change as opposed to identity of korban change, as follows. And hence we have the second version. Omar Rava. Chatos chelev sheshochta al mi shemechuyov chatos. Chatos dam. V'chatos avedus uchavim psula. If someone had violated eating of chelev and he brought a korban chatos in order for his friend who ate dam to achieve atonement, or he brought it for his friend, he brought it on brought his chatas chelev and shechted it in mind for atonement of his friend that violated idolatry. So that we say is psula. That would be called shinui bailim. However, al mi shemechuyov chatas nazir v'chatas mitzera kshera. If he brought his chatas chelev, his sin related korban chatas, and had in mind for someone who had been a nazir or had been a mitzera to receive benefit from this sacrifice, kshera, that would be okay. Now, we've learned the sources for this in the past. The problem of Shinui Bailim arises only when the other person is also Mechuyav Chatas, Kemoisai, when he's Mechuyav a similar type korban. However, since a Chatas Nozir and Chatas Metzora are classified as Olos, it's a situation here of an owner that has a different type of sacrificial obligation, and hence he doesn't pose a problem with regard to Shinui Bailim. Shinui Bailim, once again, we will reiterate that. Shinui Bailim is a problem only when the other fellow is of a similar nature to the one who's bringing his chatas. Ubayon lo hachi. And the question that Rava raises is to be asked as follows. Boy, Rava. In other words, Rav Acha's version of Rava's question is as follows. Chatas chelev, a person who had a chatas chelev obligation, sheshochta al mi shemechuyov chatas the tumas mikdash v'kadosh of mahu, and he shechted his korban chatas with the intention of someone else who violated tumas mikdash in mind mahu mi amrinon koreis kemoisa. Do we say that tumas mikdash carries a koreis penalty just like the chelev carries with it, and hence the other fellow is like the one who's bringing the korban? And we said before that Shinui Bailim poses a threat when the other fellow is like the owner. Oidilma ein kavua kamosa, or since it's a realm of sin, the tumas mikdash v'doshev, which allows for a fluctuating price korban, it makes it such that he is not like the one bringing the korban. Teku. That issue remains unresolved. The last couple lines of Gemara is the beginning of a sugya that continues onto Daf Yud. So we will, in the context of our shir, begin the sugya, but realize that it continues to the next Daf. The topic heading here is, under the Nosei heading, Mechashvin Me'avoida La'avoida. That while one is doing one stage of the korban, and at that early stage he's doing everything with the proper intention, but he has intention that a subsequent stage he will do with the wrong intention. That's called mechashven. He has states his intention me'avoda le'avoda while doing one avoda concerning a later avoda. How do we view this? This will be a machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Itmar. And we also should take note of some of the geometric forms. We have a mivne heading, and the bow tie appears. Machlokis hanal holku bo pamayim. The machlokis that we just mentioned in our topic heading will appear twice. It'll appear in the context of lo lishma, of, let us say, for example, a person shechts his korban chatos with the intention of doing the zrikas hadam lo lishma. And we'll also discuss this issue of mechashin me'avoda l'avoda in the realm of idolatry, whereby he shechts the korban with the intention of sprinkling the dam for the sake of idol worship. In other words, the shechit itself, he's not claiming to serve the idol through the slaughtering, but he is claiming that while he's slaughtering, he intends to sprinkle the blood for the idol. So now let's begin the Gemara. Itmar shachta lishma, lizroik doma shelo lishma. Rabbi Yochanan Amar psula. That mere thought at the time of the shechita that you had concerning the zrika, even though in theory or in practice, when he does the zrika, he might do the zrika properly. That's not relevant to our discussion. What's relevant is that while he's doing the shechita, he is thinking about a subsequent stage, in this case zrika, and concerning that stage, he intends to do it. He announces that he's going to do that sheloi lishma. So Rabbi Yochanan says the korban is ruined. Reish Lakish amar k'shera. That it's okay. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Psula, Mechashvin Me'avoda La'avoda. the alfinon mimachsheves pigol. Namely, the machshava that he has during the first stage, that machshava that he has during the first stage concerning a second stage takes effect in the realm of machshava shelo lishma. And we learn this, and the ability for us to say mechashem avon avoda is a function of our learning from halachas concerning pigol. What is pigol? Pigol is a situation where a person shechts a korban with the intention of sprinkling the blood at the wrong time, or with the intention of eating the meat after the time, after the right time. The nature of pigol, which is a Torah-based prohibition, the very nature of pigol is me'avoda l'avoda, that while you're doing an early stage, you're thinking about doing specifically the zrika or the eating of the korban shelo bizmano. So, once again, the nature of pigol is, by its very definition, is me'avoda l'avoda. That has to do, pigol has to do primarily with time and also place. And we're comparing the halachas of pigol to the halachas that we want to discuss concerning lo lishma. So Rabbi Yochanan says that mechashen me'avod avoda operates in the realm of lo lishma because we are learning or applying the rules that we know exist in the case of pigol. And in the case of pigol, we know that me'avoda l'avoda takes hold. Reish Lakish amar k'shera, ein mechashven me'avoda l'avoda, v'lo yafino mimachshaves pigol. Reish Lakish says that we do not learn from pigol, and therefore there is no precedent for mechashven me'avoda l'avoda. V'ozdu l'tamayu, and the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, in their statement here, are consistent with what they've said elsewhere, and that which they've said elsewhere is going to be the topic of the shiur for Daf Yud. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.